today's trade, also not obvious why it should assist someone in Talmud Torah. Yesterday's trade a little more obvious, Dikduk, Chavera and Pilpul Tamidim. But this is a moral trait, and we want to assume, not all Mefarshim assume, some Mefarshim assume that some of these traits are the outgrowth of Torah. Torah is a moral experience, you become a morally superior person. But the fact that the Mishnah calls them Kinyani Torah sounds like they're portals, they're agents, they're catalysts of Talmud Torah. So now, morality is always a catalyst of Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is dependent upon Siyat Dishmaya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will assist those who are of greater moral caliber. But we'd also like to think there's a more direct connection. So today's trade is Lev Tov, person that has a good heart. One of the Kinyanim of Torah is if you have a good heart. How would a good heart facilitate Kinyan Torah? Aside from the fact that as a morally superior, morally more developed human being, Hashem will assist you. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai once came into the Beis Medrash and asked all of his Talmidim to suggest the most important trait. Can you reduce all of life to the central or chief trait? So one said Ayin Tova, generosity. One said Isha Tova, blissful marriage. One said Shachin Tov, relations with those in your immediate proximity, neighbors and others, chavrusas, people in the Beis Medrash, roommates. They're all important. But Rabbi Elazar ben Arach famously said Lev Tov. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said Roa Ani Es Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Arach Shebechlal Devarav Divreichem. Let me tell you a Rav Lichtenstein story. And to me, Rav Lichtenstein, if you ask me to define him in a way that's unorthodox, I'm not sure most people would expect this, he'd be defined as a Lev Tov to me. And then citing Rav Lichtenstein in the story, I think I'll try to explain why Lev Tov can help you understand Torah better. Rav Lichtenstein was once told the following story about a grocer, an Arab grocer, who pulled his car up to the side of the road. There are different versions of the story. Pulled a Arab grocer, non-firm grocer, Jewish grocer, and then he pulled his car up to the side of the road. The car stopped suddenly, and all the produce fell out from the back of the car. So a group of yeshiva bachrim gathered around the fallen produce, clearing a shaila, do they have to help him gather and collect the fruit? And if it was a guy, the question was, is he a ger toshav? If he was a non-Jew, the question was, is there a mitzvah of someone that isn't osi masi amcha, a non-firm Jew? Whatever the debate was a very intricate debate. And Rav Lichtenstein witnessed the scene and was so saddened that boys who were so well conversant in the intricacies of halachic detail didn't have the basic menschlichkeit to get down on their hands and feet and help out. And we were all beating our chests, wow, Rebbe, thank you so much. It's a great critique of those other yeshiva bachrim. And then Rav Aaron bemoaned the fact that, well, in our world, where we are able to inculcate basic menschlichkeit and basic midos and basic willingness to help someone out, we utterly fail at imparting to boys and girls the most basic levels. If I say the word ger toshav, would you be able to quote you the most basic sources? As you studied ger toshav, as you've heard of it. And Rav Aaron bemoaned the fact, it was a packed room, why can't we create the perfect beast? People that are Talmidei Chachamim, but also have basic menschlichkeit. There was a moment of silence, and then one boy in the back said, but Rebbe, if you could only have one, which would it be? If you had to make a choice, if we were floored that you'd ask Rav Aaron this question. And without missing a beat, Rav Aaron said, if I could only have one, I would choose menschlichkeit. And he quoted this Mishnah, and he quoted Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Now, to me, I would modernize the word Lev Tov. I would say Lev Tov is to have humanism. Now, I don't mean the humanism of 18th century political thinkers. I mean to believe in human beings, to respect human beings because you believe in them. You believe that human beings are created in the image of Hashem. You believe that human beings are wise. You believe that human beings are basically good and virtuous. Not necessarily the modern view of man, not necessarily Dostoevsky's view of man, George Orwell's view of man. And because you believe in human beings, you want to hear what they have to say, because you trust that if they have an opinion, here's the catch. Even if it's different from yours, they're not idiots. And therefore, you can believe in different truths that you can't acquire, but other people can help you with. The theory of multiple truths, or pluralism, you can arrive at pluralism through many routes. It could be ideological, it could be theological, and they're all important. But it could be humanistic. You just look at people that are different from you. Instead of assuming, oh, they're all wrong and off and crazy, if enough people, communities, cultures, have certain customs, approaches, and views, there must be something to it. Certainly with Jews, when I look at Hasidah, it's very different for me. I don't understand some of the ways they behave. Some of the practices, well, I do now, but some of the practices seem strange, but there are hundreds of thousands of people, so they're not fools. It's like I'm the only of a monopoly on truth. So I want to hear what they have to say, understand what their positions are, how they differ from mine, and not just Jews, if intellectually honest, large groups of people that have certain customs. Now, obviously, the error or the difference is at the core of the cultural disparity is going to be much larger with a non-Jew. But if I'm looking at, let's say, I don't know, if you're picking Christians, so in fact, they've built communities of morality, a family. Now, obviously, there's a fatal flaw, believing that, you know, God had a son. But if I eliminate that fatal flaw, I believe in their views and I believe in their practices, and I can learn from them at a broader distance. So a Lev Tov is partially built. I mean, some people are born with a natural Lev Tov. You just know that when they're born, they're good, kind-hearted people. But not every trait is inborn. And some traits have to be acquired. And some people who aren't born with a Lev Tov become someone of a Lev Tov. One of the ways to do that, one of the access points, is to believe in human beings. If you really have that Lev Tov that you believe in human beings, you'll just be smarter and wiser in Torah and everything because you have more access points for information of Torah. That's just the Torah that you know, that you can... Some people hear a svara that someone else says, their first instinct is to try to break it down. I've learned with chavrusa, I have to stop learning with them because there's no interest in joint partnership. It's you say something, their sole focus is to break you down. The sole focus is to dismantle everything. Other than that guy, this is your approach, this is my approach, this is how you view the sugya. I took the following assumption, he took a very different assumption. So getting back to Elazar ben Arach, two other statements of Elazar ben Arach from his Rebbe. He said that if the whole world would be on one side and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach would be on the other side, he'd be able to prove them wrong. Why is that? Because he really wouldn't be on the other side. Because he'd be able to understand people's positions. He'd be machriya. I didn't say he'd prove them wrong, he'd be machriya. But to me, more, now I don't know if Yochanan ben Zakkai meant this, but to me it sounds that way. Yochanan ben Zakkai walked into the Beis Medrash one day and he started to give out nicknames to his talmidim. Now, in our day, nicknames are based on athletic feats, based on body parts, tall, short, hair, color. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gave out nicknames to his talmidim based on their Torah experiences and Torah practices. And you know what he called Rabbi Elazar ben Arach? A Mayan HaMisgaber. Now, why did he call him a Mayan HaMisgaber, a stream that grows in strength? It's a typical reason. He's always learning Torah, always learning more Torah. But why do underground streams all of a sudden become large streams? There's only one way for an underground stream to become larger, to be joined by other streams. It's not as if water is all of a sudden going to grow in size. An underground stream can only increase in size and strength if underground it's fed by other streams and other underground waterways, and then all of a sudden it emerges as this huge roaring river, the Mississippi River, or so if you could trace major rivers back, there'd be little rivulets up in the mountains. But as they murmur their way through the mountains, they're joined by other water sources, and they become... I think that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai meant. Elazar ben Arach had a Lev Tov, and therefore he was joined by other streams, and therefore his access points were multiple, not singular and unitary. And that's why he'd be machrio, not because he'd be scintillatingly smarter than everyone on the other side, because he could hear their opinions. The Medrash says in the beginning of Tehillim, last statement about Elazar ben Arach, our quintessential Lev Tov, the Medrash says in Tehillim that he was a great Yoetz Eitzos. People would come to him for a lot of advice. And the advice was just so on target. They say, what are you, a Navi? He said, no, I'm not a Navi. Why was he such a good advice giver? Well, you all know the best advice you can give someone is when you try to put yourself in their shoes. People don't want to become you. They don't want to hear what you have to say about your life. They want to know how you can advise them about their life. And people who are good advice givers are able to see it from your perspective. And Lev Tov respects other people's perspective. That's what I think this Mishnah means. Lev Tov is able to see other opinions, incorporate other opinions, Mayan and Mizgaber. That's why it's not just a moral trait, it's also a catalyst for Talmud Torah. Okay, have a good day, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.